First of all, thank you, Dina, for arranging for this year. I have to admit that, unfortunately, Yoat Zot have become more controversial over the past couple of months, years, whatever it is. I don't know if you saw Rabbi Alman's article in the most recent tradition. I got it yesterday, where he basically says that all the conversations about women's leadership, etc., the Yoat Zot are awesome. And again, women's leadership is a separate conversation. Could be that's also awesome. That's not my purpose here. My purpose here is just to talk about how important Yoat Zot Halacha are. I have been working with a Yoat Zot in the shul now, I believe, for 6 years. Atara Ais was the first Yoat Zot in Mount Sinai. And I think, Dina, you've now completed 4 years or 3 years in the shul?
I think three years.
But, I mean, it's... Lamaisa, I feel that the community really benefits from access to a woman like Dina, who's both knowledgeable in halacha and sensitive. More than that, I think the community, in a larger sort of way, benefits by being aware of what women's Talmud Torah can lead to, which is a very positive and important thing for people to recognize that there are role models, and this is something that communities are looking for, individuals are looking for. The numbers that are being thrown around is that women between the ages of 18 and 50 largely are not involved in shul life anymore. That's the number that's being thrown out. And I think with the advent of the Yoat Zot Halacha, what we're seeing is that more women in this age group, who, let's be honest, it's essential for Klal Yisrael, more women are now being engaged and are getting involved in shul and they're getting involved in tefillah and in Torah, and these are all very good things. So now, what the task that I was given today is to discuss the question of Yoledes as it relates to Hilchos Shabbos. I assume you all learned Simen Kuf Tzadi Dalet already.
They didn't learn it yet, but they are.
They will. Okay. So maybe we'll have to give a little more background. The basic issue is that we know that Yoledes has implications for Hilchos Nida, and that's something that you'll be discussing at great length. But there's also implications that Yoledes has for Hilchos Shabbos, which is very simply that when a woman is in labor, so she's considered a chola sheyesh bo sakana, and consequently we're mechalal Shabbos to save her life, and that's the conversation that we're having today. Now there are numerous issues that come up with respect to Yoledes in terms of, okay, so a mechalal Shabbos when she's actually in the process of childbirth, which we'll define in a few minutes, we'll see the Gemara, but what about beforehand? Right? Let's say the labor pains are just beginning, and are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos yet? Well, on a certain level, you have to recognize if you're not going to be Mechal Shabbos now, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. Now, if you don't go to the hospital until things get quite intense, until active labor, which some posts can define as the actual Cholosh Yesh Bo Sakana stage, so you're really in a lot of trouble. You're going to be having your baby on the living room floor, probably with no one around. That's not something that we encourage. Now, what we'll have to do is just focus on the halachos as to what should be done. What we'll try to do is give a little bit of a broader perspective in terms of, one of my teachers distinguishes between learning halacha and learning dinim. Dinim is just that you do X, Y, Z. Halacha is that you try to get the broader perspective. We'll be learning halacha today. Now, just a few bits of information. There are some very fine books on the halachos of pregnancy and childbirth. This is the English book. We call this Webster's because it's written by Rabbi Yisrael Dov Webster. This book is really interesting, has some good things. There are certain things which are humorous. I remember when my wife was pregnant with our first child, with Baruch, who's now 16, so we got this book and we read through it. There's an entire section, like 50 pages, about segulas. It's really funny. You could have a great time. The issue with this book is it's the type of sefer that quotes 9 million sources without telling you what they say. So he'll say, especially in the back, he'll say, look, in this tshuva, this tshuva, this tshuva, it doesn't really tell you what they say very much. I find that not particularly useful. The classical works on Hilchos Shabbos are very good. Obviously, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. The Archos Shabbos is what's more popular now. This is Rabbi Rubin. He's the Rav in that shul in Har Nof, where Nebuch the massacre took place around a year and change ago. He's a very, very fine Talmud Chacham. It's a very nicely organized book. He has a section on Hilchos Yoledes. The classic work on Hilchos Yoledes is the Torah HaYoledes. This is Reb Yitzchak Zoberstein, who's one of the sons-in-law of Reb Yashiv. The Torah HaYoledes, we'll talk about at length today. It's a really good sefer, but you have to read it with a smile on your face. If you read it too seriously, you'll in some ways miss the point, and I'll explain what I mean as we go on. And now, recently, another book came out called the Ashrei Yolato. I just took this out of the YU library. It's also a very fine book. What's good about the Ashrei Yolato, what I like about it, is he has like the Dinim section at the beginning with short Marimakomos, and then in the back he has a Chelek HaBiurim, which is really where he elaborates on many of the things that he discusses at the beginning, and he does a very nice job. I find his writing smooth. I enjoyed the sefer.
Who is the author?
Rabbi Yosef Yaffa. He's a Hasidish fellow in Borough Park. But I just took this book out like 3 days ago in preparation for this. Actually, Dina came up to my office. When was it? Thursday or something? So I had the book on my desk already. I was actually preparing. So whenever I prepare, I try to find some new sefer, or else life gets stale. Okay, fine.
I was going to say, I feel like that you've given this year before.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have a shiur online called What Halacha Expects When You're Expecting, which some people have listened to. What we'll do today, I think, will be slightly different, but we'll try to elaborate more and go into greater details. Okay, so let's get into it. The first source, obviously, is the Mishnah and the Gemara here in Shabbos, Kufchav Ches, Kufchav Tes, where the Mishnah says that you're not miyaldin as habehema biyantav, I'm misa'adin. Misa'adin means that you can help out in the process somehow. That's not our issue. Miyaldin as ha'isha b'shabbos, v'korin l'chachama mimakom l'makom. The Mishnah says that you can help a woman give birth on Shabbos, and you call a midwife mimakom l'makom, u'mechalin et halas ha'shabbos, and then you mechal ha'shabbos. So the Mishnah basically is repeating. It says that you're miyaldin as isha b'shabbos. Then it says that you're mechalin as hashabbos. You call a midwife, you're mechal al shabbos. Koshin as hatibor, you tie the umbilical cord. Rabbi Yossi says chotrin, and you also do tzarchi mila on Shabbos. That's what the Mishnah says. The Gemara asks, michtei tanalei miyaldin as isha b'kon l'chacham makon l'makom, u'mechalin alas hashabbos l'suyei mai. If you're already calling the midwife to travel from place to place, why does the Mishnah have to further specify that you're mechal al Shabbos? So the Gemara explains, Asuya hadetan rabbanu, haisa tzricha l'ner, chaverta medlekas la es haner. In other words, the repetition in the Mishnah teaches me that if the woman needs a candle, you light a candle for her. Im haisa tzricha l'shemen, she needs oil. The oil apparently was necessary to lubricate the birth canal for the baby to come out easier. If you need some oil, her friend brings her oil biyad. Eina sipik biyad mivia b'sayra. If you can't bring the oil with your hand is not that large. So you're trying to bring oil with your hand, presumably you can get a couple of ounces maximum. So what you do if you need more is that you bring the oil in your hair, obviously, because that is just amazing. So you bring oil with your hair.
So that's
mechal.
What?
Yeah.
So the Gemara is going to discuss Schita B'Seyar.
Okay.
That issue comes up here in the Gemara. If you want, we could discuss that. I wasn't planning on going in that direction specifically, but I give you a few lines of that Gemara towards the bottom.
It's assuming that that's going to be the Challah Shabbos.
It's assuming that that is a way of getting more oil than with the hand, but there's a greater problem in Hilchos Shabbos with carrying the oil in your hair because of some issue of Shechita B'Seyar, perhaps, etc.
Oh, so this was Challah Shabbos because it was carrying?
It's carrying.
Oh, okay.
Right. The assumption is that you don't live in Washington Heights, there's no Eruv.
Right, okay.
That's the assumption. Fine.
Or she's giving birth in Fort Tryon Park.
Or you're giving birth in Fort Tryon Park, or Gorman Park, as we know. Now, in Enosifik Besaira Meviola Bekele, if you don't have enough oil through your hair, so then you can bring the oil in a keli in a vessel. Amar. Im Haisa Tzricha Lener Chaverta Madlekos Las Haner. Pshita. Right? If you need a candle, you light a candle. The Gemara says, of course. The Gemara says, Lo Tzricha Besuma. The case is talking about a blind woman. Mahu Detema Kevan De Lo Chazya Aser. Kamash Malon Isuve Miyas Vedaita Savra Iika Midi Chazya Chaverta Vavdali Kama. Right? In other words, the Gemara answers that we're talking about a blind woman. Now, a blind woman does not need the candle herself. The blind woman doesn't need the candle at all. Why are you lighting the candle? The Gemara explains because Isuve Miyas Vedaita. It relieves her anxieties. We'll have to define this more precisely as we go on. Savra, the woman thinks, I'ikamidi chazya chaverta v'avdali. If there's something that's needed to be done, my friend will see and my friend will do it for me. Now, what the Gemara is basically saying, and the first real yesod that we're encountering in this Gemara, is that we're mechalal Shabbos even for purposes of Isuve v'miyas v'daita. We're lighting a candle even when the woman herself does not need the light, but the light somehow relaxes her. This Gemara is talking about mechalal Shabbos mida oraisa. Her friend is lighting a candle for purposes of Isuve v'miyas v'daita. Now, this is huge, to use a term that we're not supposed to use this week. Yeah.
Is it saying that it's for the friend to be able to see? Like, meaning...
So, apparently, the Pashtus in the Gemara is that we're lighting the candle because the woman who's about to give birth, is nervous that maybe someone won't see anything, even though, apparently, and the Magen Avraham points this out in Shin Lamed of Kutin Beis, even though the Mialedes, the midwife, says, I can take care of it on my own, I'm fine, I don't need a candle. But the woman is saying, I want you to light a candle, because I'm nervous.
Right.
So we still light the candle.
But it's not like the candle is like relaxing to her. Like, it's not like it's something that's like...
Right, so,
not
like a so it's...
Yeah,
that,
right.
So
it's
we'll
like
have to... So what we will
like
have to do is talk about the parameters of Isuve Miyas V'daita.
Right, okay.
That's going to be actually one of our major thrusts today. What exactly is included in relaxation? And relaxation comes in many different forms. There is relaxation in the sense of I'm having a panic attack and you're lighting the candle and that relieves my panic attack. Then there's relaxation in the sense of a scented candle, and there's probably a lot of space between those two. So what we'll focus on in a few minutes is precisely that issue. Yeah.
So just the example of the candle brought in, maybe because that's like a for sure d'oraisa, like say that like, or, we can take from that that like any like iser d'oraisa.
Even the Gemara says that we can do an iser d'oraisa for a yoledes. Right, you could light a candle. But I should point out that the Gemara also is saying later on in the next line that when we do melachas for a yoledes, we do it with a shinoy.
Like that's the se'ar, like we use the oil.
So apparently carrying with se'ar, here, let's read that inside the Gemara, right? If you need oil, you carry it. So the Gemara is typically mishum schita. Right? How are you allowed to carry the oil in your hair? Shouldn't there be a violation of schita? So Rabbi of Yosef, Damri Tavayu, ain't schita b'seyar. There's no iser of schita b'seyar. Now, again, without going into the malacha of schita per se, but schita is probably, in this context, dependent on the malacha of dash. It's like extracting. There's no schita b'seyar means that the hair does not really absorb the oil. It gives the appearance, however, like the oil is absorbed in the hair. Genuine schita is that there's something that's absorbed and contained, and when I squeeze it, I'm extracting. The oil is not really being extracted from the hair, right? Rather, the oil is, I would say, trapped in the hair, or it appears like it is, it appears like I'm extracting. So, ein schita b'seyar pashtus, without going into the sugya too much, pashtus, what the Gemara is saying, is that there's an iser d'rabbanon of extracting the oil out of your hair. That's the smoothest way of reading this Gemara. Now, I forgot to ask for names. I'm sorry. You asked the most recent question, and then, yeah.
Rivka Alter.
Rivka Alter, as in, you used to be in Denver?
Yeah.
I remember you from, like, a million years ago. Oh, my gosh. Wow, okay. You are?
Devorah Speckler Davidovich.
Okay. Yeah, I know the whole family. Got it. Okay. So the Gemara says, Ein schita b'seyar, and that's why I'll get your names in a minute. Miriam, I know, but you have to ask a question first. Fine. So Rav Ashi Amar, Afilu teme yesh schita b'seyar, meviola b'kli derech saira, dekama de'efshel eshnuyim shaninan. Rav Ashi says that maybe it's yesh schita b'seyar, maybe you will violate an iser d'oraisa of extracting oil from the hair. So you're not carrying the oil in your hair directly. Rather, you're carrying the oil in a keli, and you're supporting the keli on your head. I remember one summer I spent in Kishinev, and every morning we used to go from the campgrounds to the area where we had like a little kitchen and breakfast, and we used to drive like 5 minutes down the highway, and there were all these women walking on the highway with baskets on their head carrying various fruit, because that's what you do in Kishinev during the summer. Fine. So the Gemara says that meviola bekli derech saira, that you bring the oil in a keli on your head, and the reason for that is kama de'efshel eshnuyei mishaninon, because we try to do a shinui as much as possible. Now, this is the second big yesod in the Gemara, which is that when we're mechala Shabbos for a yoledes, we always do it with a shinui. There is a huge machlokes harishonim, and it's a machlokes lahalacha between the Mechaber and the Ramah, about whether pekuach nefesh on Shabbos is hutra or dechuya. Meaning, if someone falls down on Shabbos and you have to save their life, so is that hutra? Do we treat it like Shabbos now is Wednesday, and your mechala Shabbos is the same as you would care for the person on Wednesday, you treat the person? Or do I assume that pekuach nefesh on Shabbos is dechuya? Do I assume that you have to try to minimize the amount of chalal Shabbos in the pekuach nefesh case? Now that's talking about, that discussion, the poskim, is talking about a situation when someone just falls down and get sick. A yoledes, a woman who is about to have a baby, so the yoledes, everyone holds that it is, dechuya rather than hutra, and everyone holds that we have to employ a shinui.
Is there a situation that
it's
a hutra?
I didn't hear?
Is there a situation that is a, what you said is a hutra?
With a yoledes, no one says hutra.
No, I'm saying a different case.
In regular pekuach nefesh, there's a machlokas mechaber and ramah. Sfaradim assume that it's hutra. Ashkenazim assume it's dechuya. Jen, that's in Shinchav Chesif Yud Beis, generally speaking.
But that's Kamash Afshar, so...
So Kamash Afshar means, like, as much as possible. If you can't do it, like the person just fell down right in front of you and like every second is of essence, so your Mechal Shabbos, full Doi Raisa, is nothing to talk about. But if you could delay, if you could, I should say, employ a shinui, I could do it with my left hand. Do I have to turn the defibrillator with my elbow? Right? So if there's zero delay involved, so Ashkenazim assume that you do it. If there's a delay, obviously you don't. Now, these are the two basic principles that we have by Yoledes.
And Shinui is a direct result of the Chucha versus the Chuya.
That, yeah. I mean, I don't know any way of splitting out of that issue. In other words, if it's Dechuya, that means we should try to avoid the Chalol Shabbos, so you have to do Shinui.
If it's Chucha, there's no reason at all to employ Shinui.
If it's Chucha,
yeah.
So then there should be no reason. Chucha means it's a Wednesday. It's no longer Shabbos.
Okay. What was the two principles? There's one...
I'm sorry. Let me get your name, though.
Okay, Shmalo. Mana Shmalo. I'm Adivin Kisei.
Okay. How are you?
So the you said that there are two principles about the Mechad Shabbos. One is to have in mind that it's Dechuya. And what was the other one?
So one is that it's Dechuya, and the other one is that we're even Mechal Shabbos for Yisuv V'Miyas V'Daita. We're even Mechal Shabbos for a sense of relaxation.
Right.
Now, these two principles seem to be going in opposite directions, no? Dechuya seems to be saying that it's less of a pikuach nefesh situation. Yisuv v'miyas v'daita probably is saying that it's more of a pikuach nefesh situation. That even for things that just relax the woman, still will do that. Yeah.
Why does the Gemara ask, like, people glay nishim sleep, though? Like, why?
So the Gemara
just say, like, that you could be, that you can do sleep, like, meaning that, why doesn't it just say...
Well, so apparently, the Gemara is asking, what are you accomplishing? You don't have enough oil in your hand, so you take the oil in your head.
Yeah.
So the Gemara asks, what are you accomplishing by doing that? You're still violating malacha of schita. Maybe you should carry more oil with your hand, maybe just take the keli in your hand directly.
Yeah, why doesn't it just say to take the keli?
I think this is the way the Gemara is asking that. The Gemara is asking... But you're still violating schita. I think again, every point.
Not be carrying, but you're still doing.
You're still violating a malacha of schita.
Even though it's not carrying because it's not in your hand.
Correct. Or it's probably an issur d'rabbanan of carrying kol achar yad of some sort. But the Gemara asks, but there still is an issur d'oraisa of. Okay. Now. Very briefly, to go, yeah.
When you say Yoledes in this Gemara, it's that like final term, meaning we're not sure what that means.
So what does Yoledes mean? So the next Gemara says, Me'imasai psichas hakever, what point do you become a Yoledes? We'll translate it that way. So Amar Abaye mishosha teshev al hamashber. Abaye says, from the time that you sit on the birthing stool. In many of the Sfarim, like in the Archos Shabbos, he says, yeah, sitting on the birthing stool, we don't know what that means because doctors today make you labor on bed. That is true, and this is a reason why my wife would encourage me to make a picture using midwives rather than doctors. A midwife will allow you to labor any way you're comfortable. I remember at one point my wife was laboring on one of those balls, a balance ball. Any way you're comfortable, the midwife allows you to do it. And actually, Yosheves al Hamashber, you understand what that is in the midwife context because you are doing whatever you want until... Right? At some point, it's like, okay, we have to put on the catcher's mitt, as it were. And right? So we know what Yoshev Samashber means in the context of a midwife. In the context of doctors, you're right. You don't allow. The old-fashioned system used to be that women, I think, would have their feet tied on the bed. They would have, like, some stirrups of sorts. I won't comment. Fine. But... Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yehoshua Amar Mishosh Adam Shoses V'Yored V'Amrila Mishosh Chaveroseha Nosos Osa V'Agapeha. Others, right? So there are two other opinions. Opinion two is from the time when the blood begins to come out. Opinion three is from the time when your friends are carrying you with their arms, when the time when you can't walk. Now all of these positions are roughly within the realm of what we would call active labor. go back to my childbirth classes a while ago. Not that much fun. Certainly active labor is not particularly fun. But the basic idea is Yosheves HaMashber is probably a later stage. Sitting down for the baby, that's like actually time when it comes to catch. Dam Shoses V'yored and Chaverosa Nosos Osabagapel. Sometimes one is before the other. Sometimes they reverse positions. It's really not clear. This is something that you'll discuss more in Hilchos Nida. But the Gemara is basically saying that you can be Mechal on Shabbos once you reach these stages. And in Shulchan Aruch, in Shin Lamed, right, it says that you're called a Yoledes to be Mechal on Shabbos when you sit on the birthing stool or when the blood flows or when your friends carry you and others that you can't walk. And you're Mechal Shabbos for any one of them because it's a suffix how we paskin, and suffix darei salahachmir. The Mishnah Berurah says, when I talk about being Mechal Shabbos, what that means is, dafka le'inyan hadvar mesher efshal asosan b'li ichor v'ikov, lahachi tzach lahamtan shener echami gimel simanim elo. Aval le'inyan kriyas chachamim, makom racho k'kodome, right? So if we're going to wait for these simanim, the midwife just won't make it there, the doctor won't get there, so we call them earlier. In other words, this that you have to wait until active labor, that's for something that you could do at the last possible moment. For example, when the baby comes out, you need a warm surface to put the baby. Often the baby comes out and it's like purple or something. The baby's very cold, so they put the baby in an incubator. Or they put the baby in a warm area to just warm the baby up. Correct? You guys probably know this a lot better than I do at this point. It's been a couple of years for me. That's something that you could turn it on right away, right when you're actually in active labor. So you can't be Mechal Shabbos beforehand. But to call the doctor, that you do earlier. So all the poskim say that you call the doctor when you begin to enter a time when the contractions are coming at a relatively consistent rate. Different poskim have different shiurim. Honestly, it doesn't matter what the poskim say. It matters what your doctor says. Reasonably, it depends how far away you live from the hospital or wherever you're delivering. You find out from the doctor, at what point should I go in? I have to admit that I have a certain degree of expertise in this issue of giving birth on child on Shabbos because I have 5 children, Baruch Hashem. Of my 5 children, 4 of them were born on Shabbos, including my last child was born on a Shabbos Yom Kippur. And child number 5, who actually was child number 1, the only one who was not born on Shabbos, was born late Friday afternoon. So I have a certain degree of expertise. You call the doctor pretty early on. Some of the sperm say when contractions are consistent 15 minutes apart. Again, you ask the doctor, what point do you feel? It depends on your history. Some women are more likely to have a quicker time period. I think as later deliveries are going to go much quicker than earlier ones. That's the way the world works. Find out, at that point you call the doctor, but you should call the doctor with a shinoi. Now, what does that mean, you call the doctor with a shinoi? It probably means that you use a different finger to push. It doesn't delay at all to use a shinoi. The amount of delay we're talking about calling the doctor, amount of delay doesn't really matter, right? The extra 30 seconds.
Is it better to call from a landline?
So I don't think there's any difference between landline and cell phone. Some say that there might be a little bit of a difference because with the cell phone, there is a light that goes on and there is more heat that's generated. I think my landlines, I just checked also, have a light that goes on and there's heat that's generated. So I don't know if there's any real difference. There is an advantage of Uber over a regular cab. Because with a regular cab, you have to end up carrying some money with you to pay the taxi. With Uber, so it all happens automatically. It happens that when I was at this stage of life, San Juan used to have a taxi based on Amsterdam Avenue and like 182nd to 183rd. Mm-hmm. So I went there on Friday. I said, what does it cost to get a cab to the hospital? We would deliver most of the time in Roosevelt, which is on 58th. what does it cost to get? And you could leave the money with them. You can make an arrangement. No one minds getting money early. No one will complain. You can do that. And you can also, in these situations, because it is dechuya, so you try to avoid the choshas as much as possible. So I would tell my wife, would you mind if I walk to the taxi stand and tell the taxi to come over? It's 3 blocks. Again, the couple of minutes at this stage doesn't matter. So you walk over. Now, I have to admit, I'm not as firm as Rav Schechter. Rav Schechter's, that's obvious. But Rav Schechter's wife would deliver in Colombia, and she would walk from the Heights. Now, you can do it. Right? It's, you know, from Rav Schechter lives at 184th, you go to 168th, it's a nice walk. It happens that it's one of those things that gets labor to speed up a bit. My rabbis, you have to be very religious for that. You also have to not be worried. It's the type of thing that I imagine many people would say, oh my gosh, like what's going to happen? And once you get into those what's going to happen things, we're in Isuvim Yasvadaita zone, in which case you can be Mechalal Shabbos anyway. Fine. Now.
Sorry, you can call as early as...
You call the doctor.
As early as...
When you start to feel contractions and it feels to you like it's not Braxton Hicks, it feels to you like it's real contractions, they're somewhat regular, you call the doctor. And the doctor will say, or the midwife, whoever you're using, will say either wait and call back later or go in. Usually they say you call the doctor when the contractions are 15 minutes apart and consistent. That's the standard thing that they give. But again, you should get some guidance from your doctor beforehand. There are certain things that are not in the rabbinic realm. This is the exact parameters of it. You find it from your doctor, what the doctor says.
Which will be the same on a weekday. You still have to know when to call the doctor.
Right. Whenever on a Wednesday you call the doctor, you call on the Shabbos, you call the doctor, but you call the doctor with a shinui. That's the basic issue. Now, technically speaking, you should not hang the phone up after making the phone call unless you're going to be getting a call back or unless there's a real need. If you have like an old-fashioned phone, you pick it up with two hands because that's some sort of shinui, you dial. Well, dial with your elbows won't work. You could dial with a pinky or something. When you're done, you don't hang the phone back up unless there's a chance that they'll call you back. Okay, that's not so difficult. Now, the poskim speak...
What if there's a chance you feel like you need the phone again?
Like, so we'll talk about this in a minute. The Sefer Hasidim writes that when it's the ninth month, Mish ishto mu'beres, v'gia chodesh tshi'i, yispalo shalo teleid ishto b'shabes, shalo yichalo l'shabes, v'chein albito v'kalaso. Right? In other words, Sefer Hasidim writes that when it's the ninth month, you should daven not to give birth on Shabbos. Now, it's a little bit funny because you give birth on Shabbos, you know the dinim, you do what you have to do. And I have to admit, I'm not so frum. I did not do the Sefer Hasidim. And I'm also basically in 4 out of the 5 cases, I had a child on Shabbos. So maybe I should have been frummer. I don't know. It happens that this Sefer Hasidim is not quoted in the Mishnah Berurah, it's not quoted in the classical poskim. I remember when I was learning halacha a lot in yeshiva, so Rabbi Rosenzweig was not particularly happy with the fact that I was learning so much halacha because he felt I should be focused more on lamdas. So he commented one point that the right way to learn Mishnah Berurah is you look for what the Mishnah Berurah doesn't quote. Anything that makes it to classical poskim and the Mishnah Berurah doesn't quote it, halo davarhu. That means that the Mishnah Berurah is deliberately leaving it out. The Mishnah Berurah does not quote that you should daven not to have a child on Shabbos. Now, the Mishnah Berurah does quote, however, a different Sefer Hasidim. The Mishnah Berurah quotes that min haro'i, we'll skip the Shulchan Aruch because we know that din already, but min haro'i le'isha she'igia chodesh tes la'hazmin b'cho erev Shabbos ko advarm ha'nitzrochin lo d'shema yizdamin le'idosa b'Shabbos lo titzdavich l'chal Shabbos. It's proper that a woman in the ninth month should prepare anything that she'll need just in case she goes into labor on Shabbos. So you prepare a bag, and in the bag you put in whatever items you might need for a Shabbos. You put in challah, you put in grape juice, you put in a sitter, whatever you might need, you put in. Now, what's interesting to note, however, is that the Mishnah Berurah quotes it as min haro'i. Min haro'i means it's proper. It doesn't sound like it's an absolute halacha. It sounds like it's a proper thing to do. The actual source in the Sefer Hasidim, which is called the Magen Avraham, is that you really have to do this. Right? Sefer Hasidim writes, a woman who's in the ninth month, she should be matmin mayim chamin, shem teilet b'leil Shabbos. In other words, the Sefer Hasidim says, do it. Right? Prepare hot water beforehand. How can the Mishnah Berurah write min haro'i? So it's not abundantly clear. In Reb Asher Weiss's tshuvas, he assumes, Reb Asher Weiss, by the way, besides all of his other milas, is the posek of the Shaarei Tzedek Hospital now. After the Tzitz Eliezer was nifter, he took over as the posek in Shaarei Tzedek. So Reb Asher Weiss writes that since it comes from the Sefer Hasidim, it's not quoted as a strict halacha. I'm not sure that's correct. I think there are things that come, Sefer Hasidim, if you want to know something about it, Dr. Soloveitchik has a very interesting article in AJS Review from 1981. Sefer Hasidim is like this weird sort of trend in halacha that they try to be machmir for everything, but some Sefer Hasidim are quoted as normative halacha. So I'm not sure what Reb Asher Weiss is saying about min haro'i, but I do think, though, that there's another way to look at this. Let's take the following question. Is a couple, or maybe not the couple, maybe just the wife, are you mechuyev to spend Shabbos close to the hospital, so that you could, let's say, walk, if you so desire? I have to admit that Rav Schechter is not machmir on this to tell others, but in Rav Schechter's family, he tells them to try to spend Shabbos as close to the hospital as possible, like the story with his wife, that she walked. When Shai Schechter, Rav Schechter's son, when his wife, Rina, was about to give birth to the first child, so Shai is very close to Reb Asher Weiss. So he told Reb Asher Weiss that my father said I should spend Shabbos in Great Neck near North Shore Hospital, where this woman, Jessica Jacob, she like delivers half of the babies in the New York area. That's where she has admitting privileges, etc., that they should try to spend Shabbos over there, I guess, in Dina's father-in-law's community or something, which is close enough, more or less. Great Neck is closer. Try to spend Shabbos over there. So when Reb Asher Weiss heard about this, he got very upset. He wrote a tshuva that you really don't have to do this. And he said that the fact is the Mishnah Berurah writes that it's min haro'i, it's proper, it's not a real obligation. And therefore, whenever we're talking in the realm of Chumrah, he says that we have to look at Mesilas Yesharim, because Mesilas Yesharim is the book that tells me about what are the proper Chumrahs to do and not to do. And when the Chumrah ends up impacting on my Oneg Shabbos, right, when no one is as comfortable as a guest as they are in their own house, unless maybe you're staying by your best friend or by your parents or something. No, and maybe especially when you're staying at your best friend or your parents, not as comfortable as you are in your own house, depending. But the fact is, if it will detract from your Oneg Shabbos, so then it's not a proper chumrah. That's Reb Asher Weiss's approach. It happens that in the Sefer Toras HaYoledes, so in Perek Beis of the Toras HaYoledes, he quotes that he spoke to Rebbe Yoshev, that's his father-in-law, about this issue. Rebbe Yoshev says also that you're not mechuyev to spend Shabbos nearby the hospital. However, if you know that you're going into labor already on a Friday, then you are mechuyev to move close to the hospital. I had the shaila like this a few weeks ago. Someone called me Friday afternoon. They said, like, labor is beginning. What should we do? I said, you know what? Talk to the doctor. But I would tell you that it's probably worthwhile to go down to the hospital. If you know for sure that you're going to end up going into the hospital, don't wait in your apartment so you have to take a cab on Shabbos. So you could go down before Shabbos. Right? You could go down before Shabbos, make Kiddush, Hamotzi in the hospital waiting room, and then when things, you know, heat up, then you could go upstairs. Right?
Let's say it doesn't end up being, then they're stuck there.
You go back.
You can go back.
Yeah. Again, you have to recognize the fact that any woman, when she's in the ninth month, is a chol she'ein bo sakana. We're mekon amira l'nachri for chol she'ein bo sakana also.
Not the whole pregnancy, she wouldn't be a chol she'ein bo sakana.
She might be, but for sure by the ninth month she is. Again, at the early stages of pregnancy, depends how well you're feeling. I think it's very clear that by this very late stages of pregnancy, you're at least a chol hashem b'sakana. At least at this point when you go to the hospital. So what you do, if you need to go back, you can do so.
And if you can, like, you can take a cab to go home.
Take a cab to go home. Ask a guy to...
What? The husband can also take the cab.
So Rav Shachter is mekel on this. He says that the permission that Rav Moshe has in the tshuva for the husband to go with the wife to the hospital applies even to go back if it was a forced labor. Rabbi Jachter quotes this in one of his essays in Gray Matter.
Is that the same for anyone that goes to the hospital on Shabbos? Like if you go because of a sakana, that's like a...
Yeah, generally speaking, again, you have to judge each case separately. It's possible that you thought something was really awry and you're not even a chol hashem b'sakana, that you're a nothing by the time you're done. It's theoretically possible. It's not so likely. That's theoretically possible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now I have to get your name, though.
I'm Zahava Harari.
Okay. How are you?
Good. All these chumras, like, go against the...
Yisuvim miyasudaita.
Yes.
Correct.
Because
so this is the tension. On the one hand, we're trying to do as many shinuyim as possible. On the other hand, Yisuvim Yasudaita gives us additional kulas.
Right.
That's precisely the tension. I don't know a great answer to the tension, but what I would say is that Chazal feel that Yoledes isn't full-fledged pekuach nefesh. Full-fledged pekuach nefesh means it's really dangerous. Chazal feel that Yoledes isn't really dangerous. It's tivo shel olam. The Magid Mishnah has that expression. It's a normal part of life that you have children. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's a mitzvah involved in having children, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't give something that's genuinely dangerous for people to do. People sometimes die in childbirth. So Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, and many others have this, that they're not dying because of childbirth. The childbirth is safe. They're dying because of other aveiros that they did at different times, etc. Neiman doshen mesos b'shas leidosan enon zehiras benida v'chad alakas haner. Right? That's what he says. Again, this isn't particularly PC, but the Magid Mishnah's approach is that Yoledes is not really full-fledged pekuach nefesh. On the other hand, right, we're worried that it might lead to a full-fledged pekuach nefesh situation because of the nervousness. As such, we'll do certain things because of Yisuvim Miyas V'daita to give additional relaxation.
But the Yisuvim Miyas V'daita, that's not permissible because it's pekuach nefesh, it's just permissible because...
So we'll have to... We'll have to flesh that out, depending on how I define Yisuvim Miyas V'daita. If Yisuvim Miyas V'daita means that you're having a panic attack, that's Pekuach Nefesh.
Uh-huh.
But if it means soft music, so that's probably not Pekuach Nefesh by any stretch.
Right?
We'll have to talk about that in the context of doulas in a few minutes.
Sorry, meaning if, in terms of like if she's having a panic attack and therefore you could turn on calming music as opposed to calming music that would prevent panic.
Correct.
Is that the distinction?
I think that's part of the distinction. Although in any situation when I anticipate, if you know for sure that someone is building up and will have a panic attack, so it's, you may as well turn on the calming music now. What I mean by Yisuvim Miyas V'daita, that there's a panic attack, is that a panic attack itself is dangerous, as opposed to something which is just a more relaxed experience and there's no genuine danger involved. Yeah.
It seems like Yisuvim Miyas V'daita, though, is an extra kula, let's say, for Yoledes. I wouldn't apply in other...
So that's part of the question. The Radvaz in the Tshuva writes that he thinks we can be make on Yisuvim Miyas V'daita even for other cholam.
Mm-hmm.
That's assuming two things. It's assuming that the dinim of Yoledes are equal to the dinim of Pekuach Nefesh in general, which is the big machlokas Rambam and Ramban about whether Pekuach Nefesh in general is chutzur d'chuya. If they are equal, so then the Yisuvim Miyas V'daita should apply by any chola. Fine. Yeah.
Why can't you, like, alleviate that tension? Like, the Zahava's question was, all of these chumrot that we're saying is going against Yisuvim Miyas V'daita. But why can't you just say that Isuve Mesa Daita only applies when she's in active labor? So, like, that's
so
why
theoretically you could say that. There are some poskim who want to say that. I don't think that's the mainstream approach in poskim. I think there's a tzitzeli. Most of the tzitzeliezers are in chelak ches and vau in sementes vav. That's like his whole medical section. The tzitzeliezer does take that idea very seriously. I don't think that's mainstream. I don't know if I gave it to you.
No, I mean, what you just said, like, where he writes the
things. Where would?
Like, where does he write those things?
In Chel Chesimin Tesvav. That's where he has... Again, Chel Chesimin Tesvav goes on forever. That's, like, all the medical truths. I think this is, like, Oschof or something. No.
So, generally, people assume that Isuve Daita is, like, for any part of...
So generally, we assume that we'll be mekel an isuve miyasve daita even before active labor. I think that's clear. Now,
for anything or for things.
So now let's talk about some of the things that come up. What do you bring to the hospital when you go? Am I allowed to bring things that don't really impact on any? It won't help in the labor at all, but it might just relax me. Some of the posts can discuss this, and you probably will never get this, Shaila. Are you allowed to bring a sefer Noam Elimelech with you? Right? Because by Chassidim, the Noam Elimelech is really there, and I had a friend, actually, who was Nifter. He had on his bed in the hospital, right before he died, he had Noam Elimelech, and this was... Okay. I mean...
What's the potential is there
involved with that? So, hotza'ah. Now, I isn't there, so we'll have to talk about if I put everything in a bag. So there's probably if the whole trip is within the eruv, there's nothing to talk about, right? There's no isser at all. So is there an isser of taking something muksa that will relax me? I remember when Rino was born. So we went into the hospital at like 3 o'clock in the morning. And I told my wife, originally, I said, like, you know, maybe we don't have to bring the cell phone. You know, like, we decided to, like, walk down the stairs. Like, we lived on the third floor, walk down the stairs. Like, she could still walk. We're going into the hospital. That's fine. No need to take the elevator. So she's like, but what's going to happen if, you know, the cab doesn't actually come now? So I'm like, okay, you're really nervous. Take it, because it's Isuve Miyasve Daita. In other words, you could certainly be mekel on Isser Muktza because of Isuve Miyasve Daita. One of the issues that comes up is, can the husband have a cell phone with him on Shabbos or Yontif when his wife is about, right? Let's say she's at home. She's not going to go to shul because she's 9.5 months pregnant. Can he have a cell phone with him? Now, it doesn't seem to me, in my context, I don't understand why you would have to carry the cell phone on Shabbos. What I tell people to do is you could hide the cell phone with you in shul. Right? And, you know, if your wife needs you, she'll call you on the cell phone, and then you'll come home. But
in the pews,
so you're leaving your cell phone on
usual. You hear
vibrating? You can leave it on vibrate, it's probably better. I have to admit that when Yosef Dov was born, he was born in Shabbos Yom Kippur, so I didn't bring a cell phone to shul.
Yom Kippur is not going to say that it's probably important because you're not going back.
Yeah.
Like, most Shabbos is okay if you come back in, you know, an hour.
Or you can send somebody to get the person, but Yom Kippur, you're not really...
Okay. So again, so when Rina was born, Rina's now almost 7. When she was born, my wife wanted to bring the cell phone. We felt that's a suvim yasodaita. She brought the cell phone with her, which actually made things much better because Motzei Shabbos, like, she could call other people, etc. It's better to have a cell phone with you. All things considered equal. When Yosef Dov...
No, seriously, would the charger be part of that? Like, in your bed?
Again, so if it's an isser of muktza, you can really solve most muktza issues. That if you have some challahs in the bag with you, the challahs are more chashuv than anything else that you have in your bag, and that solves all problems.
It's
something in general is a derabanan,
probably.
Yeah, muktza, it's definitely a derabanan. But even so, you don't, anything should be avoided if possible. Why do anything if you don't have to do it? I remember when Yosef Dov was born, that Shabbos Yom Kippur, so I didn't have a cell phone in Shul. What I did is, like, my older kids, Chava Geula, I think, was 9. So the deal was, Chava Geula would stay home with my wife, and if I was needed, Chava Geula would walk to Shul. I have to admit, I'm making 9-year-olds crossing streets in Washington Heights. So, now, my wife was, like, laboring from, like, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning on. Davening starts at 7:30 on Yom Kippur. The doctor said, don't come in yet, so I went to Shul at 7:30. By 8:15, Chava Geula comes and says it's time to come home. So I remember my son, who, I guess if Chava Geula was 9, he was 11. So my son's Rebbe, the day after Yom Kippur, asked all the kids, like, how long were you in Shul on Yom Kippur? So Baruch says, I was there until 8:15 in the morning. Right, okay, it wasn't.
I was going to say, the story I heard was that the rabbi didn't show up to Shul on Yom Kippur, so the people I heard it from obviously were not there at 7:30.
Yeah. So that's true. I came to Shul and everyone saw me walk out. And the question was, like, Jeremy Stern, who was the president then, asked me if I was coming back for Ne'ilah. I was supposed to daven Ne'ilah for the Amud. So I told him, listen, I'm going in. It's like 8:15 in the morning. Ne'ilah is like at 6 p.m. What are the odds? Oh, like, of course I'll be back. So no, I was thinking a little ambitiously. It happens
yeah,
that...
Yeah, I know. She specifically waited.
It happens that the baby was born around 4:30 in the afternoon. I ended up davening Ne'ilah in Lincoln Square. Which was the hospital's on 58th, Lincoln Square is right there. It was great. I got to hear Cantor Goffin, who, right, so that was a good experience. And everything about was a good experience, but hearing Cantor Goffin was also a good experience.
Would you, in theory, have taken a cab back to the Heights for
Ne'ilah? Probably not, because I could daven Ne'ilah elsewhere, and, like, the Tzibur doesn't need me specifically to daven Ne'ilah. Like, someone else could fill in.
So you're going to walk back?
I thought I'd walk back,
oh
yeah.
Gosh, that's a lot of
on Yom Kippur?
Yeah. Okay. Again, that's what I thought at 8:15 in the morning when I'm leaving Shul. Like, I can't say I thought this through so carefully.
What would you bring in? This doesn't really relate. Well, what would you bring in the bag to light candles? Like,
so if you're going on Shabbos, usually you're ready to light candles.
Right. But let's say
so when you go on Friday, what I tell people is I bring... a small incandescent bulb which you plug in and you light in the room where you are.
They have those, like, ones with the switch also.
They have the ones, the hospitals have the ones with the switch. Some of those are fluorescents. I mean, I think it's better to use incandescent bulbs for hot luck scenarios rather than fluorescent.
Sometimes people feel more comfortable, like, having something with them as opposed to relying on the hospital. Right.
The hospitals in the New York area will have things.
Right.
I don't think...
Sometimes...
I don't know.
One time I was on morphine.
I'm not particularly worried...
If a woman doesn't like candles because she's in labor or because she just had a baby...
So it happens that many of the poskim say that the reason why women add an additional candle after they have a child is because they missed that Shabbos of Hadlakas Neros. So, that's the classical reason that's quoted in poskim.
It's funny because I've heard people be like, yeah, it's fine. If you miss it, then just like when you have a kid, that'll be your candle.
Yes, or, I don't know. I mean, if you miss, there is a knas that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. It is real.
Yeah.
That if you miss it, you should light an additional candle.
But isn't that only if you miss it, like not alone? Meaning if, you forgot. Like you forgot. Or like.
So again, generally speaking, if you did anything like covered Shabbos, we don't impose the knas. So if you turn lights on like covered Shabbos, so then we don't impose the knas. On Yontif, we don't. The Shaila comes up most often on Simchas Torah. Because Simchas Torah, women are most likely to forget lighting candles more than any other time during the year. You get back from Shul late. On Yontif, most poskim assume that the Knas doesn't apply because it's mostly the Shchicha. Because since on Yontif you could light candles at any point, the Knas doesn't apply. The Malam and the Hoel has a tshuva where he writes, yeah.
Like, if a woman gave birth, like, an hour before Shabbos, she's not necessarily set up, whatever, or, like, she's actually in labor when you would light candles. Yeah. Like, you would impose
so you
the
miss.
Knas.
Okay. I
mean, so you miss. I'm saying you wouldn't necessarily impose
no,
the knas.
So she adds extra candle.
See, right. That's why you add an extra candle afterwards. Again, I think the practice to add an extra candle is pretty standard. Although it depends which community you're from. There are some women who have a practice of always lighting 2 or always lighting 3, and that's it. There are different menhagim. Fine. Now,
what about when going going back to things that are mukta. So basically anything that is going to like ease her mind, fine. What about like a camera?
So my understanding is that a camera won't ease your mind in any sort of way. In other words, you'll be happy to have it.
Right, so that's the category.
But that's
happy to have it is
different than something that removes a sense of tension. Yes, everyone wants my own pictures of the first baby when the baby first came out. Got it. But at the same time, they say that someone asked a Chazanish once about like bringing a tehillim to the hospital. The Chazanish said that you should try to explain that the zechus of Shemira Shabbos is more important than the zechus of saying Tehillim. That's his...
She also should have memorized Tehillim by that point.
For sure. but at the same time, what the Chazanish is really saying also is that if she really feels that she needs a Tehillim, that's considered a Suvim Yasvedaita, even though it won't... I don't know how to say this without getting into kfira territory. But even though, like, having the Tehillim probably won't help make the delivery better, but it will relax you on a certain level. It will remove certain types of people will be relaxed by having a Tehillim with them. Got it. I don't know if the camera will relax anybody. Right? So a camera, I think, is even worse than relaxing music.
Right.
Now
not
you have your camera
and
your phone anyway.
Right.
Probably not.
Right, so if you have your phone with you...
The hospital also has a photographer, so you could just like arrange for them to...
So sad, my second son, he was born on Shabbos.
So I have to admit that one thing that I tell people when they go into the hospital on Shabbos, which I don't know if there's a heter for, is after the baby is born, they like to fingerprint the mother and the baby, and they do a... they give you like a little card with the baby's footprint and your fingerprint just or something. So I think that that's a real issue of Kosev on Shabbos. There's no medical purpose for it.
They like to or they do it?
They do it and they have a little card. It's either blue or pink, depending on what the baby is.
They don't do for like safety, right? To like for any for stealing.
As far as I know, it's just a memento.
When Judah was born, I don't think they did.
They didn't? I know that we. I remember refusing. I remember refusing this. From my kids, because I think it's a real issue of Kosev on Shabbos, and I don't think there's any medical purpose. There's also one issue. You should pre-register for the hospital.
You could ask them to do their fingerprinting probably the next day, no?
Yeah, you could, but the next day when you're about to be discharged, they probably don't want it. You could do that, certainly. That's not...
Do you really care?
Do you have to tell them not to footproof your...
Your
kid? I don't think so. In other words, I think the kids, malacha, yeah, we're talking about a one-day-old baby.
You're saying don't do it for the mother, not...
Yeah, for the baby. I mean, if they want to do it for the baby, that's their business. I mean, again, they're not doing it for you, per se. They do it because that's part of their job. I don't think there's an issue of amir al-nochri in terms of that. They always do it. It's like a matter of course that they always footprint.
Right.
Fine. Okay, now... just a few other issues that come up in terms of Yisuvim Yasvedaita, just to go quickly. Ramosha's Tshuva. Here, actually, let's go on the next section, how to get to the hospital.
Sorry, can I ask one quick question?
Yeah.
The previous section, so you basically discussed things that are muktzah, but then you about issues about bringing anything if you're going outside an Eruv.
So going outside an Eruv to bring anything. So stuff that's necessary, obviously, you can bring. Stuff that will relax you, you can bring. The question... with hotza'ah outside the Eruv is a question of whether there's a kula of ribui b'shi'urim on hotza'ah. There's a machlokas in general between the Ran and the Rashba about if I'm going to be cooking, let's say, for a chola, can I cook a full pot when all I need is two pieces of meat? That's machlokas between the Ran and the Rashba, whether it's an isidai raisa to be ma'abri b'shi'urim or an isidai rabbanon. The Chofetz Chaim writes in the Sefer Nidchei Yisrael, which is the book the Chofetz Chaim wrote for the soldiers who were stuck in the army for many years. Chofetz Chaim writes in the Nidchei Yisrael that he thinks by the Malach of Hotza'ah there's no Isser of Ribui B'Shiurim at all. Once you're carrying something, you can carry anything you want. Based on this, the Kozhik Glover, who is Rabbi Ayat Zvi Frumer, the fifth floor in the YU library is named after him. He was the last Rosh Hashiva in Chachmei Lublin. After Meir Shapiro was Nifter, the Kozhik Glover became the Rosh Hashiva in Chachmei Lublin. The Kozhik Glover writes that maybe you can have a guy carry anything you want for you, because the guy probably has something in his pocket anyway, in her pocket anyway, And once they're carrying one thing for themselves, so anything is ribui b'shirin, that's going to be mutar. So the best thing to do, if you need to have extra stuff and you're going outside the Eruv, so assuming that you live in an area with an Eruv, so you ask the guy to carry the bag for you. Right? And
does that count as being in the guy's car? Counts as them carrying it?
I think. If it's in the guy's car, so from the car out into the hospital, or from the car into from your apartment to the car, etc. Huh? Some of the hospitals are inside the area of the Roosevelt is outside the area. The hospital on 58th Street is outside the area. Some of these hospitals do have like an awning on top of where you drive up. That becomes a very complicated shaila, whether that's considered Rishus HaYochid, and can you take the items out yourself from the car into the hospital. It's a good idea if you're going with a cab, you slip the cab driver a few extra dollars, and the cab driver carries all the stuff for you.
Traveling, though, in the car itself, you and the stuff are...
So the assumption is that that's fine. The question that comes up is as follows. Do I assume they have to be worried that any extra thing that I take is making the driver burn more gas?
That's like because the Shabbos elevator question.
It's similar to the Shabbos elevator question, although in Rabbi Jachter's article about the Shabbos elevators, he points out that most elevators have a counterweight. That's why it says that the elevator can hold things until like 2,000 pounds or whatever it is. So it doesn't matter. Unless you are at that threshold, no additional weight matters. The question as to whether this is true in cars or not is is an interesting question. In the Torah HaYoledes, in Perek Yud Gimel, he says that he spoke to all the experts, and they said that there is no that the additional weight in the car does not make more gas burn. However, it's better to use a smaller car rather than a larger car because it's better to burn less gas rather than more gas. Especially, again, if it's based on Amir al-Nahri, so one could argue that there's no Isser of Mabar Bishun by Amir al-Nahri at all. Because by Amir al-Nahri, the whole Isser is that I say something to the guy. I say, drive me to the hospital. It doesn't matter if you're going to drive me in a big car or a small car, right? My issue is on the Amira. If I'm driving myself, which you should avoid at all costs, but if you're driving yourself, so then driving in the small car rather than driving in the big car, the Torah HaYoledes assumes is better because you're burning less gas. And then he has some crazy ideas. I should preface, before my first kid was born, before Baruch was born, so my brother-in-law, who's actually Rabbi Berger's brother, so my brother-in-law was telling me that he saw this Sefer one time, and he had all these interesting conversations about what's the best way to get to the hospital. Is it better to go to the hospital on bicycle, or is it better to go to the hospital on a horseback?
It's like Godanka. For who? For her or for the husband?
Yeah.
For her. Now, again, this is not particularly practical. If you are about to have a baby, to ride a bike, this looks like some sort of Facebook meme. This is not normal Judaism. But he has a whole lumdish discussion, and he tries to argue why going to the hospital on a bicycle is better, providing you're inside the Eruv. If there's no Eruv, so maybe the bicycle is considered a chotzah, in which case horseback is the best way to go to the hospital. So I remember I was walking with my wife Rivka when she was like near the end, when Baruch's about to be born, and we passed by Rabbi Danny Rapp outside, and he's like, "Hi ho, silver, away!" That was like his... But at the same time, the pashtus is that you go to the hospital in the normal way, that you don't try to go on a bicycle, you don't go on horseback in Washington Heights. He suggests in the Torah HaYoledes that maybe going to the hospital on motorcycle is better than going to the hospital in a car, because a motorcycle burns less gas than a car. I do not recommend trying to get a motorcycle and going to the hospital on a motorcycle. It makes no sense. It just, this isn't, but, the and this is what I meant in my introductory remarks about this book, Torah HaYoledes. It's a great sefer, but it's not particularly practical. So he gives you seida ha'adifiyut to get to the hospital. One is nesiyah b'ufanayim. Going with a bicycle is the best. Two is a rechev shenahago nachri, is if you have a car that a guy drives. Three, if you have egla retuma lasus. Okay. Very practical. If you have a car, so he has a discussion about a diesel motor is better than a benzene motor. He spent a lot of time on this stuff. The problem with this sefer is that someone could pick this up, and this is the classical book. Someone could pick this up and like go to the bicycle shop and try to buy a bicycle in the ninth month. Yeah. Don't do that. So in the New York area, we assume based on Rove, it's non-Jewish. It's harder. I mean, there's a very strong Rove. We assume that everything is non-Jewish. I assume that the nurses in the hospital are non-Jewish also. Although if you see a Jewish last name, it's worth inquiring. Once there's a concern that you have like a legitimate suffix and you ask.
Are you supposed to ask them to get off, like not be on your case so that they're not violating Shabbos?
Well, usually there's a few people around, and if you need something that's not really essential, so you should ask someone else.
With a taxi driver, like once they show up.
Huh?
You assume that
they're non-Jews. Right. I mean, the guy tells you his name is Alex, and he's from Russia, and he's so Jewish, he's so happy to help you. Okay, what can I do? You know, it's better that you're driving me to the hospital than you'd be driving some other passenger to go to a movie.
Right.
We'll say it like that.
That's true, because they're doing it for...
Yeah, this way, they have some... This is part of the question... Okay. Now, Rav Moshe and the Tshuva discuss it here. Actually, let's go back to Yisuv and Yasvedaita very quickly.
Sorry, just quickly. If it's the other way, like you don't have an ear...
If I don't have an Erev, so then you should ask the cab. I should be downstairs in my building, inside my house or something. When the cab comes, I ask the cab guy to carry my bag for me.
Right. If in, like, let's say, like, a place like Washington Heights, where, like, if you're a person that doesn't necessarily hold by the Erev, but would you, like... I'm just curious. Is that, like...
In a situation like this... There's a situation...
Right.
Not for now.
Also, I live on the Lower East Side, so...
Now, there is a bit of a contradiction in Shulchan Aruch as to whether Yisuv HaMiyas V'Daita comes to permit Malachos D'Oraisa or only Malachos D'Rabbanan. This is one of the big questions. In the context of the Oledes, we allow you to light a candle, based on Yisuv HaMiyas V'Daita. However, Shulchan Aruch elsewhere says, in Shin Vav, Siftes, that you're allowed to send for your relatives in a situation when there's a chola, who's really sick, you could send for the relatives. And it sounds like we're only meiko on the Rabbonans in those contexts. And the Prima Godim basically says that if it's really Pekuach Nefesh, so we're going to be Mekel to do the Oraisas. If it's not really Pekuach Nefesh, we won't. In other words, for Yisuv HaMiyas V'Daita, in the case of a Yoledes, what she's really worried about is probably that if the candle won't be lit, so perhaps she won't get good medical care. That situation with Yisuv HaMiyas V'Daita, if she's really worried about her health in a legitimate sort of way, and that seems pretty legitimate, so then you can do a d'oraisa. But for Yisuv HaMiyas V'Daita, where it presumably is not going to help the medical care, it's just only going to relax me more, so then in those situations you can only do a d'rabban, you can't do a d'oraisa. So in the context of, let's say, having music play or the like, I don't think there's any legitimate medical reason at all why the music will help. But nonetheless, that's a type of Yisuv HaMiyas V'Daita that you can do a drabanan for.
Playing recorded music is probably drabanan, right?
Yeah, it's for sure drabanan. So therefore, that would be okay. And for sure, if you ask a guy, all electricity is drabanan. And to ask a guy to turn it on for sure is okay. And one could argue that would be a shvus to shvus makom mitzvah anyway, or a makom chola. Anyway, it should for sure be permitted. But for Yisuvim Yasvedaita, if I have to do it myself, to do a Drabanon, that's going to be okay. To do a Doiraisa is permitted only when there's a real medical concern. That seems to be the way most poskim conclude. The issue that comes up, let me just say this and then we'll go back, is can I have a doula come and assist in childbirth on Shabbos? Now, just the numbers over here. Doulas are very helpful. They give you a 45% less likelihood of having a cesarean section. A doula gives you it decreases the length of labor by 25%. Doulas reduce
with a doctor as opposed to a doula.
We're talking about a doula with a doctor. No one is comparing the numbers between midwives
right.
to that I
midwife
saw.
Midwife serves in that capacity also.
Correct.
The shaila is for a Jewish doula.
So the shaila is I call a Jewish doula who will drive herself on Shabbos. There is if my Jewish doula will have a goy drive her on Shabbos, I think that's fine. That's a suva miyasudaita for its rabbanon, because a goy is driving me, that's for sure okay. There's one Jewish doula in the Teaneck area who got a psak from an unnamed posek that she drives herself, and she drives back. I tell people not to use her. I think you should get a non-Jewish doula. I think having a doula is great. But if she's going to drive herself, so then that's genuine Chilul Shabbos, and I think the role of a doula on some levels is Yisuvim Yasvedaita. The role is, it's Yisuvim Yasvedaita in the sense probably not as Hadlakas Haner. I don't think there's genuine concern that things will be messed up if the doula is not there. Although some people will debate this point. Some people will say, but what do you mean? If the doula's not there, maybe the doctors will decide I need a C-section and that's major surgery, it's much more dangerous. Perhaps, but it's much more likely that the choice is between a doula and an epidural. That, I think, is the standard choice. With a doula, by the way, the epidural rate is around 30% lower than without a doula. Forceps delivery is 34% lower. Now, epidurals, some people swear by them. Some people feel that they are the act of Satan, whatever it is. There are people, it's very rare, but there are people who develop genuine conditions. I know a woman who, because of an epidural, Rahman Latsan, she almost died. It's a woman in the Heights, actually. She almost died from the epidural. It's a very serious type of thing occasionally, but it's rare. It's very rare. What's better, to have a doula who will be Mechal on Shabbos or to do an epidural? I think it's clear that the best of both worlds is you have a doula who's not Mechal on Shabbos. Epidural is probably not real Chilul Shabbos on the level of Doraisa. Any shot that goes into the vein is potential Chilul Shabbos min ha-Torah, because you have to draw a teeny bit of blood in order to go into the vein. A shot that goes into the muscle, and epidurals do not go into the vein, generally. A shot that goes into the muscle is only an Issa Drabonon. So an epidural is a Drabonon. So if it's a choice between epidural and Chilul Shabbos, on the Doraisa level, you have to go with the epidural. But there's a nice article, by the way, in Tchum in Volume 30, Rabbi Eli Tarrigan. I don't know if he's related to the famous Tarrigans. I think you have to tell, if you use a doula, you say, I'm happy to use you, but please have a non-Jew drive. Now, it happens that this question of the Nichusa de Nafsha with the doula, etc., can go back to the discussion in the Gemara. And in the book Ashrei Yolato, he points it out that the Mishnah says, Miyaldin Esaisha and Korin Lachachama Mimakom Lamakom. Are those two separate people or the same person? Miyaldin Esaisha probably means the catcher, and the Chachama is the midwife. Now, the Mishnah, though, gives two different terms. So in this book, this There's a Rav in Bar Park, Rav Gavriel Tzinner. He has like 25 volumes called Nitte Gavriel in every area of halacha. It's a very big Talmud Chacham. So Nitte Gavriel said that he doesn't think that you can be makel on doulas. Maybe not even to do drabbanans, he said, because who says it helps at all? Let's say he has like a whole essay to that effect. So in the book Asher Yolato, he argues, first of all, but one second, but the Mishnah says, Miyald and Asaisha, and then Korin Lachachoma. It sounds like it's two different people. Mm-hmm. If it's two different people, so maybe the other one is filling a role, something along the lines of a doula. Now, that's conjecture. I don't know. Again, you have to go back to ancient birthing practices and figure out how many people around. It happens that in the Torah, there are two Miyaldos. Does the two Miyaldos mean that they divided up? Or that you needed two people present at the delivery. Did you ever think about this question? Right?
Two people at the
right.
delivery.
Right.
Don't we assume two people at the delivery?
Maybe. I have no idea.
They say one was for the woman and one was for the baby.
Didn't they? Right. Shifra and Pua, right, is...
Paris and she, right.
Not if it's two people there, one for the woman, one for the baby.
Right,
that doesn't justify
like...
having a...
And maybe not, but maybe until the baby is there, that other woman is playing this calming role.
No, but
it's also assuming that the husband wasn't there.
Correct. The assumption is that the husband was not there until recent times. That's a whole other discussion that comes up more in the context of Hilchos Nida, although Reb Moshe in his tshuva talks about the husband's role in terms of Miyas V'Daita. Reb Moshe is not convinced that you can rely on Yisuvei Miyas V'Daita to have the husband travel with his wife. Look at this, Reb Moshe.
Is Yisuvei Miyas V'Daita only a kula hilchos Shabbat?
I think
so. Meaning you wouldn't be able to use that
To hold
yeah.
your wife's hand when
yeah.
she's... So Rev Duchovsky has an essay. I think it's very difficult.
But is that his basic? I don't...
That's one of... He mentions it. If I remember correctly, he mentions it in the middle of that essay.
Yeah.
I don't think it's mainstream. I think it's very difficult. Actually, there's an article here in Truman volume here. No, in this article. In Truman volume 30. So he references Rav Duchovsky's essay, the Mamar Hargaat Yoledet Umu Uberet in Truman 23. And he points out that it's against Rav Waldenberg writes and the Shevet HaLevi writes, etc. I don't think here. He writes that you can be Hitir Harav Duchovsky Labala Hachzik at Yadasho Ishtobe Echi Korat Leleid Imhi Doreshet Zilt Betokef Vinirala Ayin Shizakuka Lakach Latzerch Rigi Anafshit. That sounds like it's some sort of Yisuva Miyas V'Daita that's part of the Kula. Again, we don't see Yisuva Miyas V'Daita in other areas of halacha. So it's interesting, and especially if we assume Miyas V'Daita is because we're worried it's going to lead to some more genuine Pekuach Nefesh, it's hard. Now, Reb Moshe, interestingly, in his presentation, Reb Moshe writes here, it's on, I forgot which page I'm up to already. Yeah, page 3. The top of page 3 of these source sheets. I underline, but Uvdi Didon, She'ein la mala his pachid, Yodas, She'ein shem tzarech v'to'elas b'nesiyas habal, v'ha'im, can the husband or the mother go with her? You know that's not going to help at all, and it's only tunva ba'alma, it's just like a fear that she gets, so maybe you can't be makel on this. Maybe Yisuvei Miyas V'Daita, Reb Moshe feels, will only help if it's something that there's some genuine medical fear. Like Hadlakas Haner, the concern is that without the candle burning, the midwife won't properly see what she needs. You get the impression that even for Drabbanans, because Ramosh is talking about going in a car, right, with a non-Jewish driver, presumably, he isn't willing to be makel based on Yisuvei Miyas V'Daita. He says you should try to say you don't really need me, but if she is insistent, maybe you can. At the very end, Reb Moshe, though, is makel, based on the svara that we mentioned earlier. He says, b'chlau, b'nesia, b'kar, the last three lines of this tshuva, shaloshai shema yarbe b'shvilo, da shava le'echad l'harbe, imba ze be'etzem shum chalosh abes. He writes that to go in a car, right, the car, the additional weight doesn't do anything. That's what Rav Moshe seems to be saying. So the husband may as well go along because you don't lose anything. There's no iser at all in terms of going in the car. So that's what Rav Moshe concludes. In other words, Rav Moshe is taking the approach that Yisuf Miyas V'Daita isn't going to allow anything that potentially might relax me. It's only if there is some medical issue for the Yisuf Miyas V'Daita. That would mean that for Rav Moshe, I couldn't be Mako on the music because of Yisuf Miyas V'Daita, unless there's some genuine fear of a panic attack. Perhaps you could still be Mako based on Shvus Tishvus Makom Chole. Perhaps. Yeah, Miriam?
Is it possible this is also more culturally bound in the way that birth took place? Because wasn't he also machmir about a husband?
The husband not being there. Present? I thought Ramosha was the Mako on the husband being in the delivery room. The Minchas Yitzchak is machmir, Ramosha is the Mako, I thought. But
my point is.
I
was going to say that, but he even mentioned, but here he mentioned the mother also.
Right, the husband or the mother. Yeah, that's true.
I was going to say, like, husband's going to go, so that thing's not so important, but he mentioned the mother also, which is why
nowadays it's probably been proven that you get better medical care in a hospital if you have someone there.
So they quote from the Chazon Ish. It's in the Igros Chazon Ish letter, Kuf Mem Aleph. The Chazon Ish writes, Mizarez ani lebal sheyisa. That's what he writes. We have no idea what his reasoning is. He just says that I encourage the husband to go. End of conversation. Most Svarim don't really go as far as Ramosha. Ramosha really seems to be hesitant to be meiko on the husband traveling based on Yisuf Miyas V'Daita. But again, that's coming from his definition, which is a very limited form of Yisuf Miyas V'Daita. Consequently, I would say that according to Rav Moshe, the doula is harder to permit, no? Unless you're going to really be a true believer and say that there's genuine medical benefit. Again, it depends. Different people have different numbers over here. The numbers I gave you is coming from the pro-doula camp. I have to admit, we use midwives, our children. We did not use a doula, but okay. Yeah.
But that's even the doula, like, driving with a non-Jew, you're saying?
Again, I think a doula driving with a non-Jew, Yisuf Miyas V'Daita and the Drabbanan, you can for sure be Mekel on.
Even
the question is, the doula driving to do a Doiraisa, I think that's harder to... If you're asking me, La Halacha, I would say that a doula driving herself, you should not be Mekel on. You should try to get a doula does not drive herself.
But a husband going, you would be Mekel on.
Yeah. That's a Drabbanan. And for a Drabbanan, this type of Yisuf Miyas V'Daita, I think we could be Mekel. So, again, if your hospital is outside the Tchum, so some posts can discuss maybe you should be mafker all of your items when you go outside the Tchum. Outside the Tchum, to go, if there's really Yisuf Miyas V'Daita, Tchum and we pass in this Durabon, unless it's a Tchum of Yud Beis Mil.
I'm saying even his only Kula seems to be based on just that there's no difference, so, like, why not? But if you add an additional Isser...
But even going outside of the Tchum, again, even if you add the additional Isser, I think... Most poskim would be make on the husband going outside the tchum. That's to deliver, let's say, from the heights. Assume that the bridge is outside the tchum. You could. The best thing to do is to leave a erev tchumen on a Friday afternoon. You can put like a bottle of jelly on the George Washington Bridge and then go to Englewood without a problem.
On the bridge, you would do it,
yeah.
Not in Englewood.
Yeah. So you can't do it. Englewood's too far. You could do it. There's a little house in the middle of the bridge.
You could walk on the path.
Yeah, you could leave your jelly over there. This is how you make an Erev Tchumen to go to Jersey from the Heights. Yeah, some people do it. It's not so crazy.
And does anybody comment on...
The Breyer's Kehillah assumes that the bridge is not a violation of the Tchum. They used to bury people on the second day Yontiv in Paramus. Rav Schechter feels that the bridge is considered outside the Tchum. There's some Tchum posek in Lakewood. I don't know. Very few people know Tchumen.
Do people just say the husband being there assisted in the medical care, just like in case things happen, there's another person there and that's always safer?
So I have to admit, I think there's a real good argument for that. That's not part of this conversation. I know that in NYU, whenever someone has to go to the hospital on the Shabbos, we always send someone with them. To be in the hospital alone, you're very likely to have bad care.
Right, or if she goes into labor in route. So
instead of the cab driver delivering the baby, it's better to have a husband.
Right.
So again, I think those are good reasons. That doesn't seem to be part of the shikul over here in the poskim, but one could argue that those are good reasons nonetheless. La halacha, we assume that the husband goes with his wife to, although I should admit, I think Rav Meir Twersky, Rabbi Tzarfati told me that he remembers Rabbi Twersky calling his wife on the payphone in yeshiva to wish her mazel tov after the birth of a child. That's a little extreme for me. Ad kan.
What about like calling on the phone to make arrangements for your other children?
Yeah, so not only can you call on the phone, if necessary, you can drive them.
Again,
if you have to drive yourself, you go the shortest route. Today, we're assuming that everyone's driving with a guy. You ask the guy to drop the kids off at whoever is going to watch them, and then you head out to the hospital, yeah. Once you're in Amir al-Nakhri land, so then everything is much easier.
But I'm saying, like, can you call that person beforehand, like, assuming they're not going to pick up and leave a message?
At 4 o'clock in the morning, you can call them and say... We were worried about that Yom Kippur. We were worried what would happen if you go in labor middle of the night. So our neighbors said, you know, just pound on the door. And that's the advantage of being in an apartment building. Okay, there's a whole other topic of conversation that I thought we'd discuss in terms of banking cord blood, which is a big topic. It happens just like, practically speaking, outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's done by Goyim, and therefore you can be makel on it. In Eretz Yisrael, there's many malachos that are involved.
Yeah, on Shabbos, not in general.
On Shabbos. In general, some are worried because it shows a lack of bitachon. I'm worried that my kid is going to have this disease and the cord blood will help. But it's probably no worse than life insurance, which also, one could argue there's a lack of bitachon. Rav Moshe's make on life insurance.
What?
Vaccines is a concern for more immediate. Life insurance is...
No, but life insurance, like, you're... doesn't show a lack of bitachon that you believe that you're going to die one day. That's like a bad
eye. Right. But, I mean, it shows a lack of bitachon that I'm going to die and I have to care for my family when I die. And that's why I need a big policy. Huh?
Meaning that their Baruch Hashem is not going to make sure your family's taken care of. That's the lack of bitachon.
I guess so. I mean, Rav Moshe's make on the life insurance.
Like,
and when the chuvah is in Igros Moshe, Rav Moshe feels... there's an article about banking cord blood in Tchumen Volume 25. Also, Rav Osher Weiss's chuvah, Simen Chof and Chof Aleph. Rav Moshe and the chuvah, Chilok Archaim, Chilok Bey, Simen Kuf Yud Aleph, is make on the life insurance. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave knowledge to people that there is this thing called insurance, and therefore God doesn't feel that that's a violation of bitachon. God wants us to do whatever things we came up with to protect us.
Is it different also if you have like illnesses of in your family?
Again?
Like say someone has...
So banking cord blood could be more immediate than life insurance. If you certainly have a condition in the family, it does make a certain amount of sense to bank cord blood. Because basically the stem cells that are in the cord blood can be used to cure diseases later on. So it's a good thing. At the same time, you have to be concerned potentially with certain malachos that are involved. The malachos that are involved is that they squeeze the blood out of the cord. And that is some sort of malacha. Either it's netilas neshama, or it's dash. If I'm shochet, it's either netilas neshama or it's dash. It's machlokes Rambam and the rest of the world. If it's netilas neshama, so then many assume that there's no iser netilas neshama with the cord blood, because by the time they're squeezing it out, the cord is no longer attached to the mother. The cord is only attached to the baby, and it's completely separated. Like, it doesn't impact the baby's blood flow. Is not connected to the mother's blood flow. It's a separate circulatory system, correct? Biology teacher. So I think it's a separate thing. So some argue, this Usher Weiss argues, that even for a Jew to do it, there's no iser netilas neshama. He argues that there's no iser for tzoveya, even for a Jew to do it, because ultimately you don't want the color. You don't want it to have a different color. there is an Isser of kosher. They tie the bag up, and that knot remains there forever, because when it gets to the laboratory, they don't unto the knot, they actually rip the bag. So there would be a malach of kosher. So in Shari Tzedek Hospital now, they do bank cord blood on Shabbos with Jews, but what they do is they have a clip that seals the bags rather than tying the knot. There might be an issur of muktzah carrying the cord blood after Shabbos. There's probably no heter pekuach nefesh on the cord blood because it's considered too far away, too unlikely. There's probably no heter of pekuach nefesh in those situations. There's no issur of hachana, preparing the cord blood on Shabbos for the week, because maybe I'll need it on Shabbos. And Rabbeinu Chananel quotes from the Yerushalmi, I think, that hachana mi Shabbos or Shabbos is mutter. The issur of hachana is only if I know I'm preparing from Shabbos for a weekday. But if I might be praying on Shabbos for Shabbos, it could be this no issur of hachana. There's a huge literature about this. Generally speaking, for us in Chutz La'aretz, it's no problem because the assumption is that the doctors are non-Jew. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, I was going to say, like, here, it's really mostly that non-Jews doing it.
Yeah.
You don't have to, like, do anything.
I don't think you have to really worry about that. So, these are the conversations that we wanted to have in terms of Yisur Miyasa Daita. There is an issue in tradition. They actually have an article by Rabbi Alfred Cohen that you could read about the doulas and labor coaches, and they give you some of the Mara Makomos. Elsewhere, I think that's the interesting question in terms of Yisur Miyasa Daita that comes up today, whether you could be making on the labor coach driving to do a Doiraisa. When it comes to Drabonans, I think it's very easy to be make all. And again, thank you for listening. Yeah, Zahava.
Question back to the money to pay a cab driver.
Yeah.
Do you have to have exact?
So usually you don't do exact. Usually what you do is you have a lot extra because you're going to ask the guy for all these favors to carry the bags for you and you just
but
give him
extra
a...
extra exact or...
Extra you don't extra. Take any change. You're not allowed to take change because that would be an isser of tilkul
right,
muktzah.
So once you've left
you
the
give
cab...
however much money I have, I give them.
Okay, but once you've left the cab, you have no...
Right.
No, kula to still have money on you.
Correct.
Okay.
One thing I figured out, by the way, that time when my son was born in Yom Kippur, so we paid for the cab to get there. That was okay. Usually you leave the envelope on the side of the bag and you tell the guy, here's your money, etc. That works out. I didn't have any money to get back. So it worked out that the rabbi of Lincoln Square lent me some money to get back. And Rabbi Robinson is very nice.
Run inside.
After Yom Kippur was over.
Yeah.
I went home after Yom Kippur, and that was it. Yeah, we had a son. It's 5 years ago almost.
Going back to the question, I mean, I know we discussed this before in Shechter in terms of, like, do you have a chiyuv to be close to the hospital, but I guess, like, even before that, is there a lechat chila to arrange it so that you're delivering at a hospital that's not so far away? Like, if I live in Queens,
so most poskim assume that there's a isuvim yasvedaita dimension of having the doctor who I trust the most, who I'm most comfortable with. All things considered equal, if there are two doctors who I'm equally comfortable with, to go to the closer place.
But that meaning there's a question of like, okay, my doctor in theory is in New Jersey and I'm right now in Long Island and I'm in labor. Like, should I have the ambulance take me to a closer hospital versus far? But there's also the question of, when I find that I'm pregnant, should I choose to go to a doctor?
So I think most postcards assume you should choose the doctor who you're most comfortable with, the doctor who you relate to the best, etc. Yeah, I don't think that, again, we're thinking long term in terms of Yisur Miyasa Daita on that issue as well.
I also like no guarantee that you're going to be pregnant. What's the assumption? Like, is there a difference in terms of getting to the hospital in Israel?
So in Israel, you should use a non-Jewish cab driver.
Okay.
The question is, like, is it better to go with a non-Jewish cab driver or to go with an ambulance? It really depends on where you live. If you're in the Shtachim, so you should use an ambulance. He has dozens of pages on these questions. Do you have to worry about an Isser Yichud with the cab driver? Maybe your husband should come with you to solve a problem, Isser Yichud on the highways. Again.
What about that question in general?
I think cabs
versus
Hatzalah. So again, I think Ayudei Goy is better than Ayudei Jew, if possible.
Even
assuming
if
that there's no delay.
But you're
So assuming you don't need like...
If there's a delay, if it's a pekuach nefesh situation in general, like someone has a heart attack on Shabbos, do I ask for a goy to take me to the hospital or a Jew? So that's a machlokes between the Taz and the Alter Rebbe, no? Whether you ask a goy to go or a Jew. Is there a concern the goy will delay and the Jew cares so much about pekuach nefesh, the Jew's going to go faster? But I think in our world, it's not such a concern. I think the cab drivers will take you as quickly...
So only if there would be a concern that you would need like medical care on the way.
Right? Yeah, that's when you go with the hospital. That's when you go with an ambulance. These are issues that everyone, all of you will probably encounter these issues at, once you start practicing. And you really have to be well-versed. I think the Magen Avraham writes at the beginning of Hilchos Pekuach Nefesh that he has a girsa in the Yerushalmi that Hanishal Hareza Shofich Damim. Hanishal means that if you get asked the question, there's a responsibility to say Shi'urim so that people know what to do. Right? I shouldn't be asked a Shaila on Shabbos. What do I do? You know, can I be Machal Shabbos? You have a responsibility to be proactive and to say Shi'urim to make sure that to just educate people as, you know, things are getting closer to make sure that, you know, they're not Machal Shabbos inappropriately.
I don't remember if it's found every couple in the shul, like when the woman is pregnant, to go over these things and,
right?
And other, like,
the close
children.
Yes, I mean, I don't do that with every woman one-on-one. I tell people to listen to my shiurim on these topics. Yeah, Azahava.
What about bathing, showering?
Yeah, so bathing, showering, in terms of Yisuvim Yasvedaita, when you're in labor, so there is a potential da'iraisa to turn on the hot water yourself. Ask a nurse to turn it on for you.
Okay, but once you pass that, then
it's... Yeah, I think so. It certainly is Yasvedaita in the sense of the showering or the bathing does relax people in the process of labor. Yeah.
And you don't, right, I guess, clean of the hair afterwards.
I mean, I don't think at this point you're not going to squeeze your hair out.
Right.
You're
not,
you're done with worrying about the hair by this point when you're showering in labor, right. Generally right. Speaking.
Right. You don't have to be worried that it may come to, you know.
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think we make additional gezeiras.
Okay. And in terms of like a woman after she gives birth, like if it's Shabbos in the hospital, like so also in general, can she ask?
So again, so generally speaking, the Gemara said, the continuation of the Gemara that we didn't go into is for how long are you considered a Yoledes and a Cholosh Yesh Bo Sakana to Mechal Shabbos, 3 days, 7 days, 30 days, at the continuation of the Gemara. It's relevant for Yom HaKippurim, etc. That's all the continuation. But after the child is born also, at least for 3 days, you Mechal Shabbos, even if you don't say that you need it, you can be Mechal Shabbos for them.
So like if you... the nurse to turn on the light for you.
Fine, whatever you, yeah. Again, you're Cholosh Yesh Bo Sakana after the baby is born.
3 days is the minimum, you're saying.
Or like that's discussion in the Gemara. So 3 days, 7 days, or 30 days, yeah.
Let them use the call button.
So again, anything I could do with a Shino, even Cholosh Yesh Bo Sakana, do with a Shino, because we're Ashkenazim. I think most of us are Ashkenazim, right?
Actually,
she's
awesome.
Huh?
Two are not.
She's awesome. Oh.
I mean, my husband.
I know your husband, right? He was in YU.
He was in
the
YU.
Yeah. I know Avi. Yeah, he was in the call.
Yeah.
So the Cholosh Yesh Bo Sakana, you can do Doraisa. Meaning after the baby's born, she's a Cholosh Yesh Bo Sakana, you can do.
You can do a Doraisa, but you should do Aidei Shinui. Yeah. I think so. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Obviously, there's much more to say about these topics. But, okay, this is the beginning. Shkoach.